Join us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, we're just talking about the Leafs and, you know, the past couple of years where against the top teams, if it's a big game and they've got a lead, something just triggers like a panic and they can't control the game anymore. And it happened last night, and they survived, as we know. But they didn't survive 2 years ago in Game 6 at home against Washington. Didn't survive Game 7 against Boston last year. What's your read on the situation?
Well, I mean, I thought they played really, really quite well yesterday for a large portion of that game. And then, you know, they're going to get the heat poured to them a little bit when the goalie comes out. And what I find is they stop doing what makes them dangerous for the previous 50 minutes or in control for the first 50 minutes. They don't make any plays. They take the puck. They all resort to, it seems like, to chip it off the glass, shoot it up in the middle, flip it up the center ice, and then scramble like hell to change. And now we're off the ice. But the momentum never stops. It keeps coming back to your end. They don't. It's like they can't quite calm themselves to make a couple of passes, to get out of the zone, to get up to the red line, to control the puck up the ice. If we look at the last 5 or 7 minutes, there's not many times last night where they had the puck under control, where they made a play that it went to the next guy and he made a play. It was like, onto the next guy, thank God it's off my stick. Off the glass, it's off my stick. Problem is, you never get out of your zone. You never get any momentum. They just go to center ice, regroup, and attack again. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah. Well, I agree with your assessment of the overall game. I thought, you know, Freddie Anderson was very good, but the last 3 minutes, the goalies pulled, then it was a scramble. But the Leafs showed up last night. Like, it was, I thought both teams did. I think the effort from both teams was there. I thought the big boys made an impact for the most part on both teams. And I thought it was a fast-paced game. If you worked hard enough, you could find some open ice. But there was some traffic. I mean, the Leafs, the three goals they scored, it was all basically right in front of the net, which that's kind of what you expect.
That's a game that suits them, though.
Yeah.
Right? The pace of that game suits them.
Right.
The ones that don't are when they get grindy and, you know, maybe less flow to them. Like, there was no shortage of talent to make plays on both sides last night. And I think that really suits their style of play. And maybe why they play better against Tampa than they do against Boston.
Ray, you played against a lot of good players and with a lot of good players. What would you do? You've watched them up close. What would you do to try to make Nikita Kucherov less dangerous?
Yeah, that's like saying, you know, how are you going to make Sergei Fedorov less dangerous if he wanted to play that night?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah. Let me just use a different word. How about trying to mitigate the damage?
Okay, I want to D right up in his face as much as I can.
Yeah.
Because don't take penalties.
But as soon as you take 5 feet back from him, it must seem like, you know, a party to him. Like, 5 feet's like a football field for most of us. I would want to try and have somebody right up tight to him so he can't use his agility, can't use his speed, doesn't get to use his puck work as much, because, my goodness, he's just an awesome player to watch.
Yeah, I agree, Ray, and that's why I asked, just because, you know, you're not going to keep him off, but
Yeah, and the second thing is, Craig, you talk about having a D-man right up on him. Your F3, your third guy high in the offensive zone, when he's on the ice, he's ultra high. He's basically just inside the blue line, so that guy can stand up, because if anything happens, you've got support. Just a couple little things you think about when you got a talented player like that.
Yeah, you're right. That's not a one-man job.
No.
And Kucherov is far more dangerous than Steven Stamkos. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I believe, like, the injuries have robbed Stamkos some of that power and stride that he had when he was at his very best. Now, he's still a terrific player, but I would say if I was to take away one of the two, I would try to take away Kucherov first. I mean, that leaves you, now you got to deal with Stamkos, but still, I think he's more dangerous with the puck on his stick. He can do more things with it he can do more things than most people in the league, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, he's an exceptional talent. And I do think this conversation is an example of what would drive a lot of kind of old school hockey fans wild watching the game last night. Is I found the Leafs game plan, and this is probably just the way it works with their personnel, but it's stick check after stick check. They had a couple of opportunities I found last night where they could have played, they could have laid a body on him, or at least, you know, hit him a little bit, you know, and it just, I didn't see it. Like, when he did stop up at the sideboard, finish it, finish the check, hit him. You know, and it just
nobody hits anybody.
No one does it exactly. No, it's stick check, stick check, stick check. Move, move, move.
The danger becomes if you go to finish, and you bounce off him, he beats you right to the net, and you don't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So I find like, and just, you know, being around the way, watching the way guys play, is that everything is about fast as you can, deny time, and keep yourself inside of the player that you're defending. And so that would mean that to finish your check, you've got to get outside that player, because once you finish, you got to bounce somewhere. If you don't bounce the right way, you're off balance, he gets by you. And so I think guys are, the game goes so fast, they can't finish, they can't bump. And then there's probably a lot of guys that just aren't willing to anymore. Like, man, I don't know how many times we'd, you know, say I'll use Detroit as an example again, and all we'd hear is finish on Yzerman, finish on Fedorov, get a body on Lidstrom. It was the same thing over and over and over again. It was your only chance.
And yet somehow you could never figure out a way to do it.
Never. You'd finish them, it'd be too late, it'd be three passes and in your net, and you'd be like, huh, well, that was a waste of effort.
Well, do you think that has to come back, though, that message in a seven-game series? It's one thing, a one-off in January, but if they meet in the playoffs, don't you think Babcock's got to express that? Like, yeah, be careful and make sure you're positionally strong, but if you can, you know, take an inch, take it now, and maybe
but
it carries over.
Back to the composition of the team, though, doesn't it, Brian? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, are you going to have a bunch of guys that don't normally finish checks start to finish? Because if you do, that's not how they play. That's not what makes them effective. And then you get into a series and you're playing the same guys over and over again, and you're trying to wedge down the number of guys that would even be playing against Kucherov. And so if they don't, like, for example, say Mitch Marner's playing against him. Do you want Marner finishing his checks all over the ice?
No, of course not.
25 years ago, yes. Today, no. Right? Like, that might be the matchup that you get.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the way that the game is fast, so you got to defend fast. Defending fast means it can't be the grind and pin. Well, there's the other thing. You used to hit a guy, you were supposed to pin him. Now you just can't do it. It's a penalty.
Buffalo's in Vancouver tonight, and Elias Pettersson, we keep waiting for the go-ahead and the green light, but he's not going to play.
Likely Sunday.
And our buddy Frank Cervelli's got a piece up on TSN.ca about the call the race. And at this point, as long as Pettersson doesn't miss another big chunk, he's a lock. I would think unanimous Calder winner.
I think he could play five more games and still win the Rookie of the Year. Like, he's that good.
I'm with you.
Really? He's that far ahead of everybody else?
Oh, yes.
Well,
I think he's lapped the field.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. I guess, you know, McDavid... I don't remember who won it McDavid's year, but because he only played 44 games, it was like, you're out, sorry. And I can't remember who won it that year. But
geez, I don't even remember.
Was it Zach Werenski that year? No, he didn't win it, but he was up for it. It wasn't Eichel. Eichel didn't win it. We'll look it up.
You guys are sitting in front of computers.
I know that, but we're on the radio. We're waiting for our crack research team to... I'm trying to think of it on the fly. It was only a few years ago.
Was it Barzal?
No, that was last year.
That was last year. Oh, it was Panarin that won it.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say, what are those guys behind the glass doing, eating lunch?
Yeah, well, yes, to answer your question, but also
a lot
Google,
of it.
Artemi Panarin won it. And he had like 76 points, remember?
He deserved it.
Yeah, but the reason I bring this up is Frank has written a piece about how Dahlin is, I guess, in his opinion, the guy who would be behind him right now. And I remember when Vancouver was in Buffalo back in November, we had this discussion about how quickly the narrative has changed, because coming into the season, Dahlin was the guy. Like, not that anyone was expecting Pettersson to be anything short of a high-end prospect, and he was Rookie of the Year in the Swedish League, but we got into it kind of hypothetically, where at the time, I'm like, if I'm building a team, I'm still taking Dahlin, because they only played like 10 games. You know, Pettersson had been exceptional, but it was 10 games. I'm not going to change my opinion over a month. Where do we stand on that now if we're building a team? Pettersson or Dahlin?
Well, I can say, living in Vancouver, it is amazing what Pettersson has done to the team, the perception of the team, the confidence of the other players on the team. The city is engaged like I haven't seen it engaged since the Stanley Cup year. Like, it is... it's amazing what this kid has done. So I would always, I think, lean to the defenseman, because you can play him 27 minutes a night, but now forwards are playing 22 minutes a night. Like, they're getting their big boys out there 22 minutes a night. I wouldn't have a problem with either one of them. I would always lean a little bit to the defenseman. Let's not forget that Pettersson is a full year older than Dahlin.
Right.
And Dahlin is playing what is acknowledged as the most difficult position, you know, skater position to play. But then Pettersson, if you know, if I'm going to jump back and forth, Pettersson never played center last year. And so he comes over here and they're like, yeah, play center. And you're like, and he's like, yeah, sure, I can do that. And he's arrogant and cocky, and he's got a real charm to him. I think the kid is amazing.
Well,
it's really hard to pick. For me to pick Dahlin, because I'm seeing firsthand what Pettersson means to this city.
Yeah, and that has to be brought into your consideration. Marketing, putting people in the seats.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Every time I watch Buffalo, I'm like, and I'm used to sitting beside Bob on the panel last year, and he said, watch this YouTube video of this goal this guy scores. And maybe I'm looking for a little bit of wow factor from him, but I don't see that much when I watch Buffalo.
See, this is where I think, too many kids get the reins put on them. You know, like, he doesn't play the same way.
No.
I don't think.
But, Ray, if you remember a couple of years ago, Morgan Rielly, he never played in the power play. He just killed penalties, and it was Babb's way of saying, you take care of this and figure this out first, and then you can go nuts. And you're seeing the results. So I don't know if that's kind of a similar plan, but I don't know. I thought I would be more impressed. It's not to say he's not a great player.
He's been pretty good, like, for an 18.
No, I know. He's a great talent, but it's just, it's not like Chris Pronger or somebody else showing up on the scene. He's growing into the position.
Let's keep in mind, Chris Pronger came into the league, and he wasn't very good. He got traded. Because he wasn't very good. And that was part of maturity.
Oh, I know. I was in Hartford when he did.
Anyway, I mean, like, to Ray's point, I mean, Pettersson has come in and, I mean, he's captured the imagination of not just fans in Vancouver, but the entire league. And, you know, the way he does it, and, you know, he's arrogant by being charming, and you love that about him. And Dahlin's a different type of player. He's an 18-year-old defenseman that has, Ray, you know, you've done some games, and you just talk about how calm and cool he is, right? Well, Pettersson has his calm and cool in a different way, but, you know, we're trying to pick between two players that are superb talents.
Yeah, two great options. You know, both teams are lucky to have them in the end, but... it just, and I guess, you know, it speaks to Pettersson and how quickly he's hit the ground running. And he was fifth overall pick and Rookie of the Year in Sweden. But, you know, Dahlin, when he came in, it was unanimous first overall. And this guy is the guy. And he's going to be, you know, a Norris candidate at some point. And, you know, it switched quickly to all of a sudden, actually, you're not. You're number two in terms of the rookie pecking order. Because if I'm watching one rookie tonight, it's got to be Pettersson. That's how good he's been. That's how entertaining he is.
I'll tell you one thing. I've got a lot less enthusiasm to watch Buffalo-Vancouver tonight.
Without
because
him.
Pettersson's not playing.
Yeah. Well, Ray, I had tickets to the game a couple of weeks ago when Vancouver was here. Like, and I said before that, there's one ticket every year where I want... I'm lucky enough to be in the press box. We're all lucky enough to have access to that. But there's been one guy the last 4 years, I got to be in the seats, and it's McDavid. He's here once. The first year he was injured. He didn't play his rookie year. It was a bummer. But if he's here, I'm in the seats. I have to see him play. Pettersson was number two.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've been lucky enough to see Sid and Ovechkin and Stamkos and Kane. I've seen them. I was dying to see Pettersson, and he was injured, and it was a bummer. Like, it was really, because
they got smoked.
They got smoked. The Leafs smoked them, and I don't know if Pettersson would have changed the outcome, but being able to see him live, that was worth the price of admission.
The game two nights ago, they played Edmonton, and it was really entertaining. And if Pettersson was in that game, it would have been a circus. It would have been so great. The overtime, the first 2 minutes, like, everybody was kind of playing for position, and then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. Yeah. It was awesome. And if Pettersson could have been there, it would have been even better.
I think Pettersson had a comment a couple weeks ago about McDavid, about where he ranks, and I think he said he's one of the top five players in the world. But right. he didn't say he was the best player.
That's what I mean, though. Like, he's arrogant, but he says it with such a charm. Like somebody asked him, are you hoping to play Friday? And he looked at the guy, and he just stared at him, and he went, yes. And the way he said it cracked everybody up. Like, they have hit gold here in Vancouver with this
kid. Of course, yeah.
Well, we'll see. Leafs in Florida tonight. Again, Buffalo and Vancouver tonight. Big weekend, NFL, lots of stuff going on. We'll break it all down.
I want a total number of steps for you once you get home. Now, is your family gone yet?
Oh, yeah, they're gone. They were out this morning. I dropped them off this morning.
Ray, I told him to sleep on the couch, so he just wakes up and turns the TV on. Have your beverages, your snacks all ready, and you don't move at all.
This sounds like a veteran of this play right here by O.
Right.
So, Hayes, I want a total number of steps for the weekend, please.
Okay.
On Monday.
Yeah. No, I'm worried that I'm kind of setting the bar too low. No. If you know what I mean, like, too lazily.
You got to just do Sunday. It's not a whole weekend thing. It's like Sunday. I want zero steps.
Sunday for sure. I'm going to put in my best effort.
Let's do that. Sunday, can you keep this under 2,000 steps?
Oh, 100%. 2,000. Ray, I'd do that on a normal 20. Sunday.
Yeah. Under 20.
You've got to go to the bathroom. You got to go to get food.
I know, but I don't live in a mall. I mean, it's 2,000. I won't hit that by next Sunday. But this Sunday, I'm thinking more somewhere in the hundreds. We got to determine a number, and believe me, I won't disappoint.
Forget about, like, you know what? Like, set up in the washroom. Your food, sit there, set up the TV right there in front.
Just everything.
That's a
Greg,
tough
you don't,
one.
You don't get involved in this nonsense very often, but we've already come up with this. He's going shopping. He'll get the pens later today.
Oh, okay, There we go.
There's no such thing as a washroom in my repertoire.
Yeah, you can't have a moose in the bathroom and then have cheese and crackers right outside the kid.
Can't happen.
No.
It can't happen. Well, wish me luck, Ray. I'll let you know.
I'm hoping it's an incredibly low number. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait.
It's going to be a fun one. You'll be the first one to know.
Oh, beautiful. Later on, boys. Have a great weekend.
All right, buddy. There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.